Well, welcome, Jim.
Hey,
Alan,
hey.
To the podcast.
Nice to be back.
And I am sitting in for Jen Allen.
Who is the preferred?
Who is the preferred contributor today?
Shh. I will remain silent.
Well, Aaron's gone the next 2 weeks, so Jim Allen, you are filling in. Thank you very much. So what are you doing this week?
So this week, we're taking a look again for the third time this year at Philippians 1:6.
Maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah.
And then we'll go four.
So
the quadology.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're taking a look at Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a work in you, a good work in you, will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to look at. So, and we're going to look at it from a slightly different perspective than both Aaron and Kevin looked at it. It's different from Aaron's sermon in February because I don't remember Aaron's sermon in February.
Well, we don't remember anything. That's according right. to Aaron.
And it was nice. Different than Kevin's. Kevin's was a Mother's Day message, and I think he really just used the verse to springboard off. This message this Sunday is the verse. That's all it is the verse. Now, obviously, we look at other places, but it is focusing on how important that single verse is. I mean, this one verse literally takes the doctrine of salvation and compresses it down into, you know, one little thing and your kind of your whole walk with the Lord in one little verse. So I think Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, that it's the main verse. It's the theme verse for the whole book. I mean, I realize joy and there's so many things, Philippians 2 with Christ and humility and all that stuff. But for us as a believer to understand that, you know, what God starts, he completes, and how much hope that can bring to us, especially in today's world. You know, today's world's so crazy that it's just wonderful to know that we have a God who is going to who did start something in us, and he's the one working through it. You know, I think I say a few times in the message that Aaron is always reminding us, you know, that our lives are simply a response to what Jesus did and to what Jesus is doing, right? So that's kind of what it's about.
My week on this, I did also just cover this verse.
Is this true?
In February?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't remember. Sorry. Yeah. I don't think anybody does.
It's old news.
I covered.
I don't think you actually covered.
Yes, I did. Because I said.
I'm kidding.
So what do you think it would be good for gospel communities to focus on this week?
What gospel communities need to talk about this week is, and I sort of alluded to this at the beginning, is the reality of this verse that, you know, this past Wednesday, we had an issue where someone was very emotional because of things going on in the world, especially in Iran, right, that just happened. And this person's spouse and children were all normally their home, but at this particular moment, they're all like in different parts of the country. And you know, she got really emotional about it. And it's the thing. And she was feeling hopeless, you know, and, you know, and so sometimes our experience overloads our knowledge. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you have to take a step back as a believer, and you have to take a breath, and you have to realize, okay, let's put all this in perspective, right? Like at the end of the day, who's in control? God is. Right? I mean, this is how the story ends. Jesus wins. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff's going to be happening and going along and everything. And 2025's been certainly an interesting year. And I'm actually going to talk about that in my next sermon. But I said sermon.
Preview.
Preview. I meant message. Message.
It's a sermon.
I don't do sermons. I'm not smart enough. I do messages. But it's one of those things where we need to really look at God's word, which is that knowledge part. You know, somebody else brought up Wednesday that they have a hard time, even though it's only, you know, a foot or so from your head to your heart, that conduit sometimes is difficult, right? But the goal for the Christian isn't for those to jump back and forth. It's those should be in union, mm-hmm. right? Like we can be
Hey, wait, not that I have attained this. Not that I've attained it. Right. All right. I want it. But yeah. I haven't attained it.
Right. But that's the whole point of this verse. You're not really not going to attain it. And we're going to get better at it.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be perfect, you know. And but the beautiful thing is we have hope. And we have a message of hope that we can share to the world. And that's why I love this verse, because it, you know, no matter where you're at in your life, God's going to keep working in you, and you are going to continue to mature. It may not look very linear, like down, you know, down to up. It's going to be ups and downs and one step forward and two step back and all those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, our job is to trust Christ, and it's his job to change us. And that's knowledge, but it should be our experience too. Right. And when those come together, that's why the book of Philippians is joy in all seasons. Right. Because
what a great title.
It is a great title. Who thought that up, Aaron?
I don't know, man.
Huh? Man.
What do you guys think in terms of somebody hears this, like the place I'm supposed to be, like Paul talks about last week, of this understanding of I have to trust Christ through everything and all these things happen. This is my sole goal, or he's able to complete it, take a step back, trust him in these things. To the people who just feel like they can't get there yet, the ones that feel like I will never measure up to this, and so they just feel defeated because they don't feel like they're there. What? How do we talk to them? How do we encourage them where they're at?
I literally just came out of a therapy session talking about this. I'm actually really excited about this message and about the heart of this verse, because I think it's just that reality, that fact that you speak to, that God does not relent in his commitment to the process that's unfolding in us. I think everything about that is what keeps us from feeling paralyzed by shame or by grief. And this person I was talking to, they're very much in this season where they're starting to look at things really up close in a way they haven't before. And there's just a natural grief that comes out of that, and realizing the weight of those things that have unfolded in their lives that they regret. And there's a healthiness to that. And yet it is because of sanctification that they don't have to stay there. They can trust it's something that God's moving them through, and that he's not done with them, that he's not done with any of us yet. And I think that's just the greatest encouragement that rounds out the sadness or weight of conviction that is also like a necessary step as part of that process.
I was in a seminar many, many, many years ago. And I had, at that time, I had been a Christian for 17 years. And I'm pretty sure I have the recollection correct. It was Hank Handegraff was speaking. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
The Bible Answer okay. Man.
Who's the second Bible Answer Man?
The second, not Dr. Walter Martin, yeah. But the second, Hank Handegraff. Hank Handegraff his gift was scripture memorization. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, right? And he was sharing that he'd been a Christian for 17 years. And I'm sitting there going,
I'm a loser.
I am such a loser.
I suck.
I was like, this guy is up on this stage. He's written books. He's like memorized like half the Bible. People call in and ask him crazy questions and he just answers them. And I've been a Christian the same amount of time. And I can't even get up and like, I'll go 3 days and go, oh man, I didn't even think about God. You know, I mean, God's got us.
Yeah.
We just, some of us are, I think I say in my message, you know, some of us are knuckleheads and I'm a knucklehead and, you know, but I'm just trusting in the Lord that he's got me, because he does. And he's got all of us if we know him.
We don't rest well. And I think resting in that knowledge and resting in those facts and believing it's true is hard for us. But I think that's a healthy place to say, I'm not there wherever I want to be, but because he's got it, I can rest. And, you know, it stops the striving. It stops the self name calling and the identity that we put on ourselves. And really resting in him is, I think, a good first step.
So that would be part of really the idea of that progressive sanctification where God is just growing us day by day,
yeah,
more to the image likeness of Christ, that we have not arrived, but the arrival is secure.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be good, though, in groups for people to explore where they really question that or have a hard time believing that is taking place.
Mm. Yeah, that I think that'd be a great thing, especially if everybody else is, you know, in the different walks with Christ, where they're at and where they see themselves in that journey, the places where they wish they were further along, because I think we all wish we were further along than we are. But then yeah. when you talk about priorities, is it my priority or is me my priority? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to, again, what, you know, Paul keeps saying, one, not that I've attained it, but secondly, I press on. This is the goal that I have. This is where I want to be.
I don't know. I think some people in our groups are okay with the status quo. I think some are don't think about anything more or change. Maybe they're comfortable in the dysfunctional mess or whatever they're living in. And
do you think they're comfortable in their dysfunction or they're trapped or hopeless?
All of it.
Yeah.
I think some people feel it's normal. I know people that will look, if everything in their life is okay, they will look for somebody whose life is falling apart and then insert themselves into that person's life because that's what feels normal for them. When everything seems to be going well and they're not melting their own lives down, they will find something that is melting down because that's just how they live. That's how they've been taught how to function.
Yeah. And I think we're all different too, because I think two of the biggest, I think pride is always the underlying sin for pretty much everything. But one of my
like a good Augustinian there.
Yeah. Well, but one of my biggest struggles is selfishness.
Reading this message too, and thinking about it in community context, I love it when we can point out what we see from our vantage point of God's unfolding work in other people, and I think that could be a cool invitation for communities to engage in too. I love it. David Powelson, rest in peace, used to talk about grace hunting and doing that for other people, because sometimes we lose sight of it, or our brains like skew negative so often we lose sight of, wow, like if I compare, you know, this aspect of my life to a year ago or 5 years ago, it's amazing to see what God's been doing.
You should be a therapist.
Maybe it's too much work.
Well, personally, I see God's work of transformation in my life where every time that I come up and I do a message or something like that, you know, I think people think I'm just delivering the mail, and I'm not, because the mail's being delivered to me too. And I love that every single week when we gather and I walk through and I'm putting something together, it actually grows me hopefully as much or more than it grows other people. Because if I'm supposed to be a leader, I think I need to lead by listening to what God is saying, not just having me tell people, but listening to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And so then I go back and think about, what's my resume? What's my progressive sanctification right now? What's God doing in my life? How am I growing? And so how then can I share that with people around me?
I really appreciate that. And actually, we had people in our GC talk about that, how much they appreciated that vulnerability.
Do I even know the same Jesus that Paul knows?
It is such an honor as a believer to be in a community, and I'm talking about Element, and I mean this from the heart. Like, I wish we had shown up here so many years ago when Jen suggested it. I will probably end up begging people, get involved in GCs. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't even tell you how just fantastic the friendships and the family relationships and the, you know. And it's grown me, and willing to allow me and my wife to be a part of their healing process. And there's nothing better in this world than, you know, I didn't realize how important community is to your walk. Mm-hmm. And so that's what GCs need to do. They need to walk through this together. They need to work out their salvation together.
God
in community. So
in the book of Hebrews, it's actually through the verse into his message.
But, no.
In Hebrews, it says, you know, he is made perfect forever, those will be made holy.
Right.
And that's sanctification.
It's one of my favorite verses.
Yeah. Positional, as well as what God is doing in our lives every single day.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty.
Well, we'll see you next week, Jim, since you'll be back.
Glad that landed so well, guys.
It was profound.
Wait, you know what, not Michelle? Really, it's okay to sit in the silence.
It is okay. I'm so proud of you. No, I really wanted a